We just heard a performance of a sonata by Domenico Scarlatti in B-flat. Kirkpatrick catalog listing 441, and that's particularly important if you really want to keep track of these things. But mostly what I want you to keep track of is who played it, who is So-Yeon Lee. She is the winner of the 2010 Naumburg Piano Competition, and she is going to be performing at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock on their Sunday Salon series. And she's with me on the phone right now. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how much do these competitions really mean to an emerging artist? This is by no means the only one you've won. You've got a bunch from your time at Juilliard. And also, I'm missing a couple of the other big ones. But how much do they really mean to an emerging artist?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's definitely not how it used to be, let's say, even 20, 30 years ago, when competitions were a lot more scarce, really. And when you won something like the Rubinstein or the Tchaikovsky or the Leeds, it really meant you were going to have a career. And I think those days are almost all over. There are a lot of competitions, and you win, of course, it gives you a big boost in career, and it gives you an opportunity to be on the map, and what you do with it is really up to you. And I think a lot of the responsibilities of propelling your career now falls on the artist more than what a competition used to do for you. That said, I think the Naumburg is really special because it just has a really long history of wonderful pianists that have really had successful careers, and they sort of pride themselves in being sort of private. And so winning this, and you know, this is my last competition I was planning to do. I turned 31, and so it came at a good time. You know, it was sort of my last bow before I took the exit, and so it was really wonderful. And you know, I know that this isn't gonna, so to speak, make my career, but these things always help because it really gets you out there, and it's nice to have another line in the resume. But the real work, the real reward is what comes after, like these concerts that come after.
Well, the concert stage is certainly littered with, for example, Van Cliburn winners who you heard of once and then they're gone.
You're absolutely right, yeah. And a lot of the times, the people that in my generation are performing are often ones that have never done a competition, ironically enough. So, I mean, there are so many things that go into it. And what competitions are good for, I'm not an advocate of competitions at all. I think I think it could be a completely anti-musical experience sometimes. But it does get us to focus in a completely different way. And if one can just use it as a tool to just better yourself and not take them too seriously, I think that's probably the better way to go about them.
On your recital at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, you'll be doing a nicely varied program that has some Bach on it and Liszt, which is appropriate enough during this 200th birthday year.
Right.
And then also some music by Robert Schumann and some music by somebody named Eunsook Chin.
That's right.
What can you tell me about this person?
Well, she's a Korean composer based in Germany. And for a long time, I've been wanting to play something by a Korean composer. And Ursula Oppens, one of my teachers, had a few years ago played her concerto in Europe. And she said she came back from it completely excited and said that this person really has her own musical voice, sounds nothing like anything else, and that I should really try to explore some of her works. And so she gave me copies of these etudes. They're ongoing. She is planning to write 12 of them, and she's finished about 6. And I took a look at these, and you know, it's impossible to sight read them and have any idea of what they sound like when you look at them. But even by the looks of the look of the score, you can tell that the language is so unique. And so I decided to take one on for one of my concerts last season. These, by the way, take so long to learn. It's just very complicated. And it went over really well with the audience that I started to group the three together for this concert. She was a student of Ligeti, and her violin concerto won the Grandmeyer Award, which is a huge award for composers. And so you see, you can hear the influence of Ligeti first in the fact that she's writing a set of etudes, but really with the polyrhythmic thing. But the thing is, she was really influenced a lot by electronic music. So there's a fusion of electronic music and the color world of Messiaen and a definitely rhythmic world of Ligeti. And so it's quite spectacular, actually.
And we're essentially going to have to take your word for that because we don't have any recordings of this music. But I was definitely interested in the piece. So you said there, it's particularly difficult to learn, but I'm guessing that the pieces are rather short.
They are short. In fact, the three etudes combined are about 8 minutes. I mean, it's about 5 pages long, but I have to say I've devoted 70% of my life to them the past few months. that's really how difficult they can be. So,
wow.
But I think it's definitely worth it. I always tell the audience, I've played it now a handful of times, and for those audience members that might be wary of something contemporary coming up that they've never heard, I say, you know what, just hang on because it's not that long. It's 8 minutes. You know.
So. This program is full of short pieces. All, you know, the Bach French Suite has several different dance movements, and then these three etudes, and then you have the big sonata by Liszt, is Sonata del Petrarca, and then also a waltz from Gounod's Faust. But then you're also doing the Davidsbündler dances of Robert Schumann, which is 18 short pieces.
Right.
And I know as a conductor, I was told somewhere along the line that if you're going to do a multi-movement pieces, that's almost like doing that many larger pieces in rehearsal time. And I wonder how that translates for pianists into practice time and also performance energy.
Actually, that's very interesting you say that, because I didn't think about it, but I think that's absolutely true. Because, for example, like the Schumann Davidsbündler dances, the 18 of them, I've had to literally work on each one of them as if it were a separate piece first before putting it together. And even now when I'm working on it, I approach, it's almost like approaching 18 different pieces. So in that sense, yeah, I think it does take a lot more rehearsal time, at least psychologically, you know, because you feel like you have many more pieces to get through. Yeah.
And you definitely want to try to get each one of them right. And
exactly. By the way, Davidsbündler, I think, you know, people always ask, oh, who's your favorite composer? What is your favorite piece? I think I can safely say right now that Davidsbündler is my favorite piece. It's otherworldly.
Wow. Usually people really do avoid that question, you know,
asked that all the time, and I always say, you know, if my favorite piece is whatever I'm playing at the moment, which holds true for the most part and probably is, you know, sort of, I am playing the piece right now, so maybe I'm biased to that too, but I feel like Schumann is one of those composers that can really just dig into one's soul. I mean, there are beautiful pieces. Of course, Chopin wrote so many beautiful works, but I feel like there's something with Schumann and the piano and the intimacy of what he can do that can just sort of pierce through. And the Davidsbündler in particular, you know, so much of the Schumann works, the bigger sonatas, it can kind of get lost in its repetitions. And you know, he was definitely not a flawless composer, but I think in these dances, he's just perfect. I mean, it's just perfect.
Pianist So-Yeon Lee talking about the Davidsbündler dances of Robert Schumann, which she'll be playing on Sunday afternoon to recital at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And I found online a recording she made, that was made of her playing for the 2009 Van Cliburn competition in the preliminary rounds of another work of Schumann, his Carnival. And here's the opening portion of that. Wanted to ask you a little bit about, talked earlier about competitions and how important are those things, but you've been getting a lot of publicity on, for example, Symphony Magazine. I actually remember reading this article back in 2006, although I didn't think it was that long ago. They have this emerging artists issue, and you were one at the time, and then showed up in Musical America, another journal, and so on. Do these things help? Do they matter?
Of course. I mean, everything helps because there's just so many deserving musicians these days, and the market is not as big as it used to be. So any kind of publicity, if you will help you get the attention of presenters or CD companies, managers, etc. So, you know, fortunately for me, publicity of this kind and recognition, they sort of spread out evenly through my career so far. So definitely at the time when I was featured in Symphony Magazine, I got a handful of wonderful concerts with orchestras that saw that magazine article. And then when the Musical America came out, again, I got a handful of concerts that people read about. So all these things do help. Do they, you know, sustain a career? No, of course not. But it's definitely a boost. And psychologically, it helps as an artist that's trying to, navigate this business.
I'm guessing that it's actually more important. I mean, great. So you got some calls from orchestras as a result of those articles. But then if you'd gone and done a bad job with the orchestras, you wouldn't get too many gigs after that. But if you do a great job, they're going to tell the next orchestra who's going to tell the next orchestra, and that's how you get going.
You're right. And I have to say I've been really fortunate because the concerts, I was with a wonderful organization called Concert Artists Guild for about five years, and they're sort of the nurturing organization that sort of bridges the gap between when you're a student and when you're professional, when you're a professional pianist, I guess, if you want to call it that. And while I was with them, I was in contact with really a lot of wonderful presenters, and they keep inviting me back to their series, and so I have an ongoing relationship with these presenters that I've had because of these, Symphony Magazine articles and the Musical America. So, definitely it's a relationship that you have to, work on and keep in touch with,
Well, and as with any other field, just make sure you do a good job, and then people will keep wanting to hire you.
Right.
You've got recordings, of course, are another way to get your name out there, and you have a new one called So-Yeon Lee Reinvented, and the I is replaced with an exclamation point, which I guess is mostly a fun graphics device.
Yes.
Wanted to play just a little bit of, since you're going to be playing some Bach on Sunday afternoon's concert, the Bach Chaconne in D minor from the second partita for solo violin. And this is Ferruccio Busoni's arrangement for piano. We'll just hear a little bit of the beginning of this piece. It's So-Yeon Lee, my guest here on Live and Local. We heard just the opening of the Chaconne of Bach as arranged by Busoni and played by So-Yeon Lee off of her recent CD called Reinvented, and she's my guest on Live and Local. How recent is that? I actually didn't pay attention.
Actually, it's not terribly recent. It's 2008, 2009.
Oh, no, okay. Not so.
Yeah.
Do you have another one in the works?
I do, actually. In fact, I'm recording a CD of Liszt opera transcriptions in December for Naxos. It'll be my second recording for Naxos following Scarlatti. And it's appropriate because I've been doing a lot of Liszt for the Liszt year. So, but these are works that probably many people might not know. The Faustgunnel, of course, is very famous. But the other ones are a little more obscure, but so wonderful and beautiful. I'm really looking forward to it.
You're talking about the pieces that are on your new recording.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Here's a piece which is also from the Reinvented CD that mostly, at least I've mostly heard in the orchestral versions, which is by Isaac Albéniz from his piece, his suite called Iberia, mm-hmm. called El Puerto, which means the door. Am I wrong in thinking that pianists don't actually end up playing these very much?
Well, I don't think they're played as often as they should be, I think, in my opinion. But more recently, more pianists have been tackling them. I think, you know, Spanish music, I think a lot of the Spanish pianists have been doing them here. But I took a crack at it because I had the opportunity to play a lot in Spain and sort of fell in love with the flavor of the music and the flavor of the country. And these pieces by Albéniz sort of captures everything about that country and their culture and even their food. You play these pieces and you just really feel like you're there. And El Puerto is really about a port city in Spain where all these people are gathered to have really a party all night, and as the sun comes up in the morning, everything starts to hush and die down and everybody goes home. And that's sort of the picture that he had in mind when he composed this.
Well, thanks for correcting me, too, because I referred to it as the door, which Puerto also means.
Right, but in this case,
a different kind of door. A door from a harbor, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did this come out also, and we're going to end with this piece, but I noticed that it was on your program, one of your programs, in the preliminary round for the Van Cliburn competition right about the same time. Did you end up recording it before or after doing that competition?
I recorded it before. I recorded about 3 months before. And it was at the heels of my concert in Zenkel, my ego concert. I don't know if you've seen anything about that, where I commissioned a dress made out of juice pouches, 5,000 used juice pouches.
I may actually have seen that. This is ringing a bell.
Yeah, and that was a really fun experience, and the first half of that I kept, you know, to a traditional gown and a traditional program that was not reinvented, so to speak. So I had put Albéniz and Prokofiev's Sonata, and then the second half, which followed, was the reinvented part of it. And the whole recital, basically, is what you have on the CD.
Well, I enjoyed listening to it, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. And certainly anybody who has the opportunity will enjoy hearing So-Yeon Lee on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on their Sunday Salon series. And she is the She's here as the Naumburg Piano Competition winner of 2010, and her name will be around for a long time, I'm sure. Thanks very much for joining us here on Live and Local.
Thank you for having me.
Music by Isaac Albanese, played by So Yeon Lee on FM 90.9.